Tomorrow is the second anniversary of the shootings at Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado. There still are many questions about why Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold killed 13 people, wounded 20 others, and then killed themselves. At the time of the shootings, schools already were searching for better ways to recognize troubled teenagers and help them deal with their frustrations and anger. Since then, books and studies have revealed a growing awareness that extreme acts of violence have roots in early childhood. NPR's Lynn Neary reports.
There's one cliche we all know to be true, that many of life's most important lessons begin in the sandbox.
I don't have no sand.
That's enough, Danielle. You're like taking all the sand.
Yes, she's taking my sand too.
Me too.
These young children are getting their introduction to what child psychiatrist Stanley Greenspan calls the politics of the playground. It is on the playground, Greenspan says, that children learn to be members of society, how to share, how to make friends, how to negotiate and form alliances. The social skills a child learns at play, says Greenspan, are the foundation for success or failure later on.
What we know is that children who are prone to impulsivity and violence and aggression often have a history of problems going back into early childhood. And what you look for early in life is the ability of a child to be compassionate and caring about others, to control their impulses, and to reason about their feelings rather than put their feelings into action.
But today's playground can be a complex place. Jane Catch teaches young children at a school in Massachusetts. One year, she decided to tape some of her 5- and 6-year-old students at play for a research project. When she listened to the tape, Catch was horrified by what she heard.
These children were talking about R-rated movies that they had either seen or heard about from older kids. They were talking about graphically violent imagery, about tearing out somebody's heart. I turned the tape recorder off.
Ultimately, Catch decided not to ban the violent language in play altogether, but instead work closely with the children who engaged in it. She wrote about the experience in her book, Under Dead Man's Skin, Discovering the Meaning of Children's Violent Play. Catch says the children's fascination with violence became the topic of numerous classroom discussions.
We made rules about the violent play to decrease it, because children complained about it. Once we started talking about it, the children themselves started saying, we don't like it when it's too gory. So it became less violent through that process of caring about how other children felt.
The students in Catch's class learned one of the most important of all social skills, empathy, the ability to understand another person's feelings. They also learned to control some of their impulses, and they did it through talking. Children who do not have good verbal skills, says Diane Levin, are at a huge disadvantage. Levin, who teaches education at Wheelock College, writes frequently about the relationship between violence and the media. Many children, says Levin, spend hours in front of TV, often watching violent programs, rarely engaging in conversation with adults.
We know you learn language the best by talking and interacting and hearing other people use language and then you connecting with it. And so a common approach for adults around conflict resolution with young children is say you need to use your words. But more and more, it's clear to me that the kids who use their words least and get into the most fights are the kids who have the fewest words.
Let's see who's ready. Tanisha, nice job. Legs folded in front of you, eyes up here. She's showing me she's ready. First row's ready. Second row, good job.
Debbie Willihan teaches kindergarten at Freetown Elementary School in Anne Arundel County, Maryland. Willihan says many of her students tend to be very impulsive. It doesn't take much to start a fight.
Getting in line, they're invading each other's space, and there's pushing and there's hitting. They have nicknames in the neighborhood, but I don't know those names. And they'll use those names at school, and that typically will cause a fight. They don't want to be called that at school, but there's never any, I feel hurt when you say that, or please don't use this name. It's usually just a hit. They'll just hit or push.
Freetown is one of 54 elementary schools in Anne Arundel County, which is using the Second Step Violence Prevention Program to teach young children skills such as empathy, impulse control, and anger management. Barbara Griffith, early childhood coordinator for the county, says in a large and diverse school system like Anne Arundel, many children don't have good verbal skills. A program like Second Step, says Griffith, gives the students and teachers a common language for dealing with social and emotional problems.
I would say that before you can solve any social problem, you have to have a language of understanding. And so what this helps the children to do is to have the words that they may not come to school with to say, you hurt my feelings, or I'm sad about that. And they may not have those words when they come to us.
Large public school systems, says Diane Levin, can benefit from a systematized program like Second Step. But, she says, children also need to understand how to incorporate those lessons into their everyday lives.
And that's why I think it's so important for teachers to learn how to work on problems that come up, to help kids feel powerful from solving those problems, that they can solve them without the power of hitting. For children to really live the kinds of social skills we're hoping they're going to learn. And to do that, young children can't learn a rule and then apply it. They need to live the rule.
As children get older, their emotional and social lives become increasingly complex. The politics of the playground get harder. Those children who have started learning how to control their anger and impulses, or how to seek help or avoid conflicts in preschool and kindergarten, are less likely to be either the bully or the victim as they reach the emotionally turbulent years of adolescence. Meanwhile, back in the sandbox, the children in Freetown's pre-K seem to have learned their lesson well. They came up with a solution to their problem. They decided to build something together.
This is bricks. Yeah, this is a lot of bricks. Danielle's helping us too, aren't you, Danielle? Let's go.
Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.